Matthew 26 and verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Down in verse 36, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." The song that we just sang, "'Tis Midnight," and "On Olive's Brow," really does a good job of depicting the vividness and the imagery of this scene for us. And if we read the words that we sang again, "'Tis Midnight," and "On Olive's Brow," it said they went out to the Mount of Olives after they had sang a hymn. And this was customary for Jesus to do, but of course on this night, there's something different about it. And so the song goes on, "The star is dimmed that lately shone." There's nothing in the text that says that perhaps the weather looked different, but I think the star here is Jesus himself, right? His visage is different. He's got a burden that he is carrying with him this night that has not been there on previous occasions when they visited here on the Mount of Olives. And so it says, "'Tis midnight in the garden now, the suffering Savior prays alone." We just read that. "'Tis midnight and from all removed, Emmanuel, God with us, wrestles alone with fears." It's hard to imagine the creator of the universe wrestling by himself when he created us to be with him, yet there he is alone, bearing the burden of our own sin by himself. I don't think he's afraid to die, but he is human, and so his flesh at this point is crying out for the agony that he knows he is enduring and is about to endure. And the last part of the second stanza says, "E'en the disciple whom he loved heeds not his master's grief and tears." And so we know Peter, James, and John are a short distance away, and they're not privy to what Jesus is feeling. They're not connected enough with him in this instance to notice the burden that he's clearly carrying. And so they're fast asleep a short distance away. And then we sang verse 3, "'Tis midnight, and for others' guilt." That's everyone who's ever lived, all of us that are sons of Adam. "The man of sorrows weeps in blood." And the writer of this song, you know, Jesus is rightly called the Son of God. He often calls himself the Son of Man to depict his willingness to leave heaven and to come down and put on flesh. But here, that Son of Man is now a man of sorrows. And there's imagery similarly portrayed in Isaiah and elsewhere. He's weeping in blood, yet he that hath in anguish knelt is not forsaken by his God. Turn to Luke 22. Luke gives a little more detail of the account here in the garden. And really, if you will, a bit more vivid imagery so that we can really see the scene here and we can see what Jesus is going through. And in Luke 22 and verse 39, it says, "And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" See, he knows what's about to happen. He knows that the devil's about to scatter them like sheep, as he himself has said. Verse 41, "And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down in anguish," as the song said, "and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.'" And here's the other detail that Luke includes. "And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him." So see, he's not forsaken by his God, as the song calls out. He's alone, yet God is still there. God is faithful. God sends a messenger because he needs, you know, he went going through something here that we cannot fathom, something that none of us would have been able to bear. And so the Lord strengthens him. Verse 44, though, "And being in agony, he prays yet again more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." And I think there are several versions that render that his sweat actually was like blood. And there's actually a term for this that is escaping me at the moment. But when you're in so much physical pain and agony that literally you begin to cry and to sweat, you know, blood from your pores. Verse 45, "And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation.'" So that's the scene. We have the scene here in the garden before Jesus as he's preparing to undergo this sham of a trial. And he's going to be convicted and crucified by his countrymen for crimes that he did not commit. But of course, this was all part of God's plan. And we know this has a happy ending in that he suffers through this, yet God raises him 3 days later, and he is now exalted at the right hand of God. So in a moment, we're going to sing another song, if you'll turn in the supplement to number 15, Exalted. And let's walk through the lyrics here briefly before we sing it, and then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. There's, again, some very vivid imagery in the lyrics of this particular hymn, and some that I hadn't thought about in various ways until I reread again. But it starts out, "Known before the world." And of course, that's right. Okay, Jesus knew why he had come to earth. He knew that it was for this moment he had come, and this had been the plan from the very foundation of the world and of history. So he's known before the world, seen in future days. Well, it's talking about, this is all talking about the Son of God we're leading up to. So the Son of God is known before the world. He will be seen in future days, of course. He was seen after his crucifixion by many of his own disciples, glimpsed by righteous men, both before and after, the Son of God, sent as David's heir. Talked about this in our study of Ruth, right? He was from the lineage of David, but he's a king like David, but even greater than David, and that he's been granted all the earth, he's exalted. Verse 2, he's seen with blinded eyes. It's interesting. It says, heard by heedless ears. There were those that would see him, yet didn't see him for who he was, right? There were those that would hear him, but wouldn't heed what he was saying. So Jesus would often say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But they would not. But many times we have recorded in the miracles that Jesus did in giving sight to the blind, right? So he's seen by blinded eyes, yet at the same time he's walking around and he's actually giving sight to the blind, and then those that were blind are now seeing him. And so in the same way he desires those that are currently blinded to cast off those blinders and to hear him and to see him for who he truly is. And so, of course, there on that cross, there are going to be some that realize at the moment of crucifixion when the earthquake comes and the veil of the temple is torn in two, they're going to say, surely this was the Son of God. Those blinders are off. They've seen. They see something there that they hadn't seen before. And they, of course, might think it's too late. But then 3 days later, they'll realize, no, it's not too late. I can still submit to him. I can still see him for who he is, the Son of God. I can be his disciple. He's met with wicked hearts. That's all connected with the blinded eyes and the heedless ears. Worshipped with contempt. They mocked him. They didn't really worship him. They worshiped with contempt. And then, of course, as Jeff discussed this morning, the Pharisees and those that they called themselves by God's name and thought they were God's people, they weren't worshiping him with their hearts. They were worshiping their traditions and themselves. They were the very ones that were putting him on this cross. And so they thrown him upon that cross. Yet God still has a plan. God has a plan to exalt him. Final verse. Scorned by those who watched. He was scorned and derided by many of the passersby and those gathered around that crucifixion scene. He's mocked by all the wise, all the elitists. Okay, save Pilate, who didn't really seem willingly to go into this, but all the wise of the Sanhedrin, save a couple, were in cahoots to go through with this. Loved within belief, right? The disciples loved him, but they didn't know him fully, and so they found their faith and their belief at this moment. They knew they loved Jesus. They were agonized to see this scene. They didn't understand how this was all going to be played out until much later. And then, of course, we see that when Jesus' love was perfected, their own love could be perfected after his resurrection. Born to take my death. And this is where the song gets personal, and we need to realize that it was our own sin that put Jesus on that cross. Born to take my death. Jesus, Son of God, exalted, exalted. Let's exalt our Lord in this song.